You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's new and it's free. It's Dog Pound Drive, the Cleveland Browns fan pregame. Don't miss live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and Steelers this Sunday. The pregame starts at 10 a.m. on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from Tricky Dick and EV. Apparently, Tricky Dick, I did some research on this, is a cover band from they covered things from the 90s, all genres, but apparently they're very good. They're playing a big concert tonight in town, as a matter of fact.
And DJ, is that DJ EV?
Just says EV.
EV, I think it's DJ EV. He's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's good.
You're more of a fan of EV than Tricky Dick?
Yes. Anything with a dick in its name, I am not a fan of.
And there it is. Here we go. So go out there to Dog Pound Drive, though. Check it out. Get the beer garden, get the food trucks, and get the music from Tricky Dick and Evie. I wonder if they dress like Richard Nixon. That's neither here nor there. We're bringing in the kid now for the Friday forecast. The kid, are you going to go out there to Dog Pound Drive and check it out?
I'm not really a music aficionado, so I think I'm going to stay home tonight.
You're going to stay home for that? You're not going to come out and support the Cleveland Football Browns?
I'll support the Cleveland Football Browns, but not Tricky Dick himself.
Okay, there you go, the kid. Here we go. All right, time now for the Friday forecast. We'll bring in our producer, Mr. Emmett Golden. What's
all
up,
right,
Emmett?
All right, guys, what's up?
How you doing?
You aren't pulling me into that whole conversation.
Right?
Do you
want to get into it?
I got pulled in.
Do you want to get into it? I think
I'm
you handled
good.
It well, though, Matt, I'm going to say.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure, but I think so.
On to the Friday forecast. Fill in the blank. The Browns will beat the Steelers Sunday if blank.
They need to slow down the passing game of Ben Roethlisberger. We cannot give up all these third down plays. We've got to get off the field on third down, and the way we do it is slowing down the passing game.
The Browns will beat the Steelers Sunday if we can eliminate the run game and limit Le'Veon Bell's performance, forcing Big Ben to throw the ball more down the field.
I just think it's going to just be a matter of if the defense can slow down the Steelers enough. I think our offense is going to put up 20-plus. I think the defense needs to slow them down enough because originally I was saying, okay, it's got to be stopping the run, make them one-dimensional, get to Ben Roethlisberger. But if you're all of a sudden saying put it in Ben Roethlisberger's hands and you have less than a 100% Joe Hayden, you've got no Paul Kruger rushing the passer, that makes me concerned about wanting to put the ball in his hands. So I think I'm more leaning from the beginning of the week. I was 100% it had to be to stop the run. Now with these injuries, I might be a little bit more on the other side. I'd rather give up 5 and 6 yard chunks than maybe some of those big plays. So I'm going to say limit chunk plays. If the Browns can do that, they'll be in good shape versus the run or the pass. Make them come down the field. They've stalled out in the red zone repeatedly towards the bottom of the league in red zone touchdown percentage. So let them get down there, stall out. Bend but don't break, Browns. That's what they got to do defensively.
All right, up next on the Friday forecast. How many points does the offense have to score on Sunday for you to feel good that the Browns have a shot to win?
Well, I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 to 31 points. But really, I think as long as Hoyer's within striking distance at the end of the game, you know, the new cardiac kid can get it done.
How many points does the offense need to score? I'm going to go with 24 to 27, a little bit less than the kid, but I feel like we can limit Ben Roethlisberger at or about 20 to 21 points. So 24 or above would, of course, win the football game.
I'm going 24. That's the number I think the Browns are going to get to, and that's the number I think they need to win this game. I wouldn't mind seeing 30, though, the kid. I think I'd be happy. We would dance in the streets over that. And, you know, maybe we get DJ EV out there to fund that party. But I think if you go north of 30, you win for sure. But I think 24 is the number that'll get the job done because I think the Browns are going to be able to compress this game by running the football and controlling the clock. I think they're going to go on some long drives and keep Ben Roethlisberger and company off the field. That is another key to this one to me. Long possessions. Long possessions. Wear down that defense and run on it. Let's not forget, all three Browns running backs were over 6 yards a carry in the first matchup.
Up next on the Friday forecast, now on the defensive side of the ball, what position is under the most pressure to perform the best on Sunday?
Well, I think once again it's the D-line. The D-line was supposed to be the strength of this defense, and when you watch the last couple of games, they've just been flat getting blown off the ball. 6 and 7 yards down the field just for these running backs, leaving our linebackers no chance against the run and putting us in a precarious position, you know, when teams can go play action on us. So I'm going to lay it on the D-line and say that they're the key to the defense.
I was going to go D-line, but I think the question marks in the defensive backfield are looming for the Cleveland Browns. And as I've said time and time again, Ben Roethlisberger's ability to escape the pocket, extend plays. You've got limited resources or limited reps in Justin Gilbert, question mark. K'Wan Williams, question mark. A limited Joe Hayden. So I like, you know, you got to like Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger's weapons down the field. So they are under pressure for me to perform.
I'm going to put it on the line because I think that you got to stop the run, but you also have to get to the quarterback. Let's not forget that New York Giants Super Bowl team that beat Tom Brady a few years ago. They didn't have a great defensive backfield, but they got to the quarterback and constantly put pressure on the quarterback. And that can cover up a lot of the ills. If you don't have to cover for so long, if you can confuse and play a little zone, as long as you're getting to the quarterback, then you can have success. So I think it is imperative that the Browns slow down the run enough, but get to Roethlisberger and finish the job. So I'm going to kind of put it on the D-line and the rush linebackers on the outside. Jabal Sheard, Kruger if he goes. Of course, Eric Martin if he fills in. Barkevious Mingo, this would be a great game to have him step up. And Armani Bryant getting to the quarterback and getting him down, because I think that can cover up some of the deficiencies or confusion that could be on the back end that might be playing for the majority of the game. Two rookies in Justin Gilbert and K'Wan Williams.
All right, the final question on today's Friday forecast. Next to the Browns-Steelers game, what other NFL game are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Pats-Bills because I would like to see one Michigan quarterback win this week. And we know it's not likely to happen in Ann Arbor, unfortunately. So I'm going to say I'd like to see the Pats over the Bills.
The game I'm most looking forward to besides the Browns and Steelers is Cowboys at Seattle. I think the Cowboys' offensive explosion with DeMarco Murray leading the league, Dez Bryant, an explosive receiver. Just that position, Bryant versus Sherman, is going to be amazing to watch by itself. But I think, again, I picked the Seahawks to win, but I think a great offense versus a great defense. And the Cowboys' defense playing very, very well against Russell Wilson. That offense is going to be a great battle.
Those are all good games. I'm surprised, though, you didn't go with Tom Brady against the Bills.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you just obviously weren't listening.
I didn't hear that. Okay, then that's got to be your game. I thought that's not what I thought I heard you say. Yes, that's the game for me because you want the Bills to lose, and you love Tom Brady. Your Michigan man, Tom Brady.
I just got a question for Matt.
I thought I heard you say 49ers.
No.
Pedro's in town for the 49ers. My dad coming in town this week for the Monday night game.
I do understand that.
From San Francisco. Flying in today.
Richard Sherman versus Dez. You're a player on one of those teams. Are you paying any more attention to that during the game, or it's just business as usual?
As a player, you're paying attention to it. You absolutely are, because you only get to see those guys once every 4 years. So when you get to see Richard Sherman up front, is he living up to the hype? You know, and when I was in San Diego, we got to see the guy twice a year, but it was Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey in his prime, you know, was great to watch. And we schematically, we'd create double moves. We were going to lull him to sleep, and we were going to hit him for the long ball. So just to see, you know, that matchup, it was Vincent Jackson versus Champ Bailey.
Cover Gates a lot, too?
Yeah, or he'd cover Gates a lot, or it'd be Malcolm Floyd, try to hit Malcolm Floyd on a deep ball versus Champ Bailey. So it's a great matchup, because when you look at everything else, it's kind of like they're stars, but there's guys. But that's the marquee go-to matchup. You know, top five wide receiver, top corner in the league.
But if you're Dallas and you know he's not going to move, don't you just throw Terrence Williams on that side?
Absolutely.
And keep Dez Bryant away from him?
But knowing Dez will probably tap Terrence Williams on the back and say, go over there.
He wants a piece.
Dez wants a piece, and he wants Tony Romo throwing the ball there. And, you know, I like Richard Sherman. I like his act and all that. But I think part of the reason that he has success is because a lot of teams do that. And he's not like, you know, Patrick Peterson's covering the best player on the team every week.
I'm struggling at times.
I'll say this. What makes Richard Sherman and the Seattle defense so great is Richard Sherman does not conform to follow the best to the best guy. It's whoever you line up with, I'm going to erase off the board. And I think also, too, he just excels on that left side. When you play on the right side, you're essentially playing with a different safety. You're communicating with a different outside linebacker or defensive end in certain coverages. So he's literally on his island, and I'm out here doing my thing. You tend to do your thing.
I don't think also at the same time, though, I don't think you want to say we're just conceding half the field. So if you send Dez over there, the Seahawks still have to think you could use any part of the field.
Oh, for
because
sure.
Because they were saying against Green Bay, I remember in week one, that's what Green Bay did. Green Bay threw Cobb and Nelson on the opposite side, and they put Jarrett Boykin out there and didn't throw a single pass in his direction. So they basically were conceding their offense to one half of the football field.
It is interesting, though, Tony Romo's statistics to his left, which is the opposite Richard Sherman, are significantly better than to his right. So it might be that he throws to the left more often anyways, just because that's where he feels most comfortable.
Interesting. That's an interesting fact. By the way, did you give an official final score? Have you officially called your shot?
31-27 Browns.
31-27, a barn burner for the kid.
Unfortunately, I don't have that much confidence in the D right now. I mean, to me, Kyle Shanahan is the MVP of the team so far. The defense has really been scaring me, and last week was just – that first half was brutal.
Second half was very good, though.
Versus a backup quarterback.
They were also very good in the second half against the Steelers offense.
I'm just saying the defense.
You're just saying. I'm not going to convince you. That's okay.
Not very confident right
Okay.
now.
All right. And then what's your favorite Brown Steelers memory?
When I was a little kid, my grandpa used to take me to the games. And I remember crossing the bridge, and there'd be mostly brown and orange, but there'd be black and yellow. And it's probably the first time I heard a lot of swear words. Definitely the first time I ever saw a fist fight. And when it used to be icy, people would be like sliding on it and climbing on the railings. And it just was mayhem. And it was just a cool thing to see as a little kid.
Who won the fist fight in your recollection? Was it a Browns fan or a Steelers fan?
Well, there wasn't one-on-one. So typically the Browns, that was back in the day. If there was a Browns and Steelers going at it, there was like seven Browns fans jumping in there.
That's awesome. The dog pound, the mob mentality. It's going to be a big weekend at First Energy Stadium. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Kia, ladies and gentlemen, Kia.